Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 19 this evening. 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'm going to share with you something that the Lord has been working in my own life concerning. And we should always be learning. At 57 years of age, I'm going to be, in 23 years, I'll be as old as Barzillai that we're going to be talking about, who is 80 years of age. Actually, he's older than that now. But in the Bible, he was 80. His life was recorded there. And I find that I am constantly learning things about myself, learning things about how I should do things better, how I should grow. People that don't grow are people that are not studying God's Word. They're not spending time in God's Word. And I remember an event that took place many years ago. Dr. Hobbs and I would do visitation at Santa Rosa Hospital. Back in those days, you went to the front desk, they had a pastor's list. And what they did is they listed everybody in the hospital and told what church background they were and so forth. And we would look through and see if we could find familiar names that we knew. I had to laugh a few times through the years. Dr. Hobbs would look through and said, "Oh, I see so-and-so. I thought she had died." And, we would laugh a little bit. But there was a gentleman that Dr. Hobbs had worked with at Milton High School that was in a room on the fourth floor. And so he said, "I know him. Let's go by his room and visit." So we went up there and came in there. And the gentleman said, "Hey, Mr. Hobbs, how you doing?" They got reacquainted and so forth like that. And was going, and the gentleman said something that just seemed so strange to me. He said, "Mr. Hobbs, you'd be happy to know that I've learned everything there is to know about life." And Dr. Hobbs, without skipping a beat, reached over, grabbed his arm, pulled it over to him, and Dr. Hobbs slapped his fingers on his wrist like this and said, "No, you haven't. You still have a pulse. You can only say that if you're dead, that you've learned everything about life." Now, that fella, you should have seen his eyes. I mean, it was just like, boom! And he looked at him, and I was looking at him too, because I wasn't expecting that. But it was something that both of us needed. Both of us needed. No one should ever say, "I've learned all there is to know about life. I've learned all the lessons of life." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to announce publicly that you've grown to the place where you don't need improvement. There's not anything that you can learn. You've learned all of life's lessons. Well, congratulations. You're one in a billion, all right? Maybe one in 8 billion, like the population of the earth, because that's just not a true statement. And we laughed about it going down the elevator. I said, "Wow, Dr. Hobbs, I've never met somebody that had learned all there was to life." And he said, "Believe me, he hasn't learned. I know him." And we had a good chuckle about that. But I want to read to you a passage here. 2 Samuel chapter 19. We're going to read verses 31 through 40. I'm sure familiar to you. But there are some wonderful, wonderful lessons that we can learn here that I think will be helpful to all of us. I want to talk to you about a man of grace and grit. A man of grace and grit. A man by the name of Barzillai, who God used to help his son David and their family during a very difficult time in their administration. David had been run out of the city of Jerusalem by none other than his own son Absalom. They were residing up in the hills around the Mount of Olives. And there a man makes his way through the wilderness up there. And he's got with him donkeys and camels full of supplies to help David and his family. Let's read this. "And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went up over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, 'Come, O thou, over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem.' And Barzillai said unto the king, 'How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Now you talk about an honest man. He was honest about his age, about the decline of his health. He wasn't out there talking big about what he could still do. He could still do handstands at 80, or he could do this or that or other, you know. He could do jumping jacks or something like that. No, he says, I can't hear people singing. I can't see things very well anymore. It's hard for me to get around. I've even found that I'm struggling between knowing what's right, what's good, and what's evil. It's a struggle for me. I don't want to be a burden to you, David. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, verse 36. And why should the king recompense at me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold thy servant Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king came over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half of the people of Israel. This was his return back to Jerusalem after that period of time that Absalom had ruled over the city. Eventually, he got caught up in a tree with his hair and was hanging there, and they took care of business, and he was gone. Now David goes back with his family, but he brings back somebody else, a man by the name of Chimham, who we find out later on is the son of Barzillai. Barzillai recommended his son, said, if you want to take my son, my servant, my son, with you, you can do that if you would like, but I'm going to go back home. I'm ready to go on to the grave with my fathers. And I tell you, as I read through this, there are so many lessons about life and about living life and about the fact that even in our old age, we can still be a benefit and a blessing. Amen? We can be a benefit and a blessing. We've been sold a bill of goods here in the United States. They look at people and they say, you're too old for this. You're too old for that. You know, we had a coach out here this past week in a high school game that was going off on an umpire, and he went up to the umpire and said, you're too old to be umpire, and you should have retired years ago. Can you imagine saying that to somebody? This, by the way, is the chief of the umpire association that handles all the high schools in this whole area. He knows the rules backwards and forwards, and this little knuckle-headed coach who thinks he knows the rule book doesn't know his way around a wet paper bag. All right? But that was his disrespectful response. He got chunked out of the game. Praise God. They launched him on out of the field where he needed to go, because he has no business running his mouth or even coaching children, young people, adults, anybody. He doesn't understand how to live life. He had no respect for the aged. By the way, when a country of people lose their respect for age, that country is well nigh hopeless. That country is at the bottom swirl of the drain. You understand? Let me tell you something, young people, you better respect those that are older than you. When you start lifting yourself up with pride and saying, well, that's an old person, they don't know anything, you're the fool. You're the fool. And you can say, well, Pastor Brandon, you're saying that because you're old. That's right. I'll agree with you. But I'm saying that because it's also true. All right? We live in a day and age of disrespect for the aged. But I want to say a word here to those that are moving up. Like I said, I'm only 23 years away from being 80 years old. I think about that, it's like a slap in the face. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against being 80 years old. I'm not against being 60. All right? It's the getting there. All right? I'm not going, yoo-hoo, I'm going to be 80 in 23 years. Nobody's that way. But what I'm saying is that in the 23 years, if God allows me to live that long, and I have no idea, I have told God, Lord, I would prefer not to live to be 100. All right? I would prefer not to. Now, some people want to. God help them. All right? In a wheelchair, totally dependent on somebody. That's not how I want to live my last days here upon this earth. Whenever I'm no longer useful to God, I'd just prefer Him to go ahead and let me go on to glory. Be done with this world if I'm not useful for Him. Now, that's not a death wish. I think it's one of just desire, like Barzillai. Let me just go home, and I'm prepared to go on to my father and my mother. I'm ready to go when God says so. I don't need to go back to Jerusalem and live with you. I don't need your help. The Lord's provided everything I need. I want you to see some things about Barzillai the Gileadite tonight that I hope will be a blessing and help to us. Alexander White, the Scottish preacher from the 1800s, speaks of Barzillai this way. He is an aged, venerable, hospitable Highland chief, and he has the characteristics of loyalty, courtesy, hospitality, and passionate love displayed by this old saint. This afternoon at the funeral, David spoke to me and he said, I got the sweetest card from Mrs. Hobbs. It was a blessing to my heart. Would you tell her thank you? And I said, sure, David, I'll be glad. So I'm doing it publicly, Aunt Carolyn. Aunt Carolyn's going to have her 90th birthday, Lord willing, this June. And she was thoughtful. She was thinking about David. And she sent a card that was a blessing to his heart and to his life. He was aware of his need. I want you to see, first of all, his courageous loyalty to David when it wasn't popular to be loyal to David. You see, folks, the young people had an uprising with Absalom. You have to understand the Bible. But the young people got behind Absalom. Boy, they were excited. He's good looking. He's smart. He's got money. He knows what young people want, what young people like. And whenever he came to the throne and booted his father out, they were all behind him. It was just one problem. He wasn't God's choice. And within just a few months of calling himself king over Israel, he was dead. He was dead. Barzillai, during this whole event, was courageously loyal to David, who was God's choice to be king over Israel. God wasn't done with David. This upstart Absalom said, I'm going to take over the throne. My dad's too old. He shouldn't be in this position. Now, God was working on the transition. He just had a different person in mind. Turned out to be Solomon, the one they least expected. You know, the one that was soft. The Bible uses that word many, many times concerning he was soft and tender. Everybody looked at him and said, he's not ready to lead. And there were some truths to that, but God was going to make him what he wanted him to be. He was going to give him wisdom. That's what Solomon asked for. How many young people ask for that these days? If I give you one wish, what would you ask for? All right? What would you ask for, young people? Oh, I want a big bank account, or I want to have a certain girlfriend, or I want to have a certain boyfriend. You know, we're thinking at that level. But you know what Solomon at age 20 asked for? He said, Lord, would you give me wisdom to rule? I don't know how to go in and how to go out. I don't know. Would you give me wisdom so that I could rule this people? He was compassionately loyal to David. And he not only was loyal, he proved it. That's how we know. What did he do? He loaded up, he told his servants, and he told his son, load up supplies, we're going to go see David and his family. We're going to give them what they need. He was aware! How many times we fail? How many times I fail? Not being aware. Not looking. Not paying attention. Thinking somebody's going to be okay, and we don't realize that they're not. And they need our help. Barzillai was aware that his king needed help. And he didn't say to himself, well, there's a lot of other people younger than I am that can help him. I'm retired. That's not what he said. He said, how can I help? How can I help? And so he loaded up and they brought food to the family of David, and he supplied them during that whole period of time, those months that he was outside the city. It was Barzillai the Gileadite that was bringing food to take care of his king, because he was courageously loyal to his king. Number two, he reverenced character. He referenced and reverenced character. Now, what do I mean by that? He identified two men, powerful men, over him. One was King David, the other one was Absalom, the declared king. These were very powerful men, supporters on both sides of a divided country at this particular point. Absalom had a large number of people, multitudes, following after him. Barzillai looked at both of them, and you know what he reverenced? Character. Which one of the two had character? David did. We've lost that in America, I think. That's my personal opinion, but I think we've lost that. We don't identify character anymore in people. You know what we identify? What can they give me? What am I going to get from them? Are they going to listen to my needs and what I want? All right? Government's the big handout place, and I want them to do something for me. All right? We need to stop for just a moment. Do we reverence character in people? Do we reverence it enough to want to develop it in our children and grandchildren? That takes work. And Barzillai looked at Absalom, who was the upstart king now of Israel, and he looked over at old King David and he said, you know what? I'm going to go with God's choice, the one with character. And he supported them. Was he on the right side? I didn't hear you. Amen. He was on the right side. And who went back to Jerusalem alive? Yeah, King David did. God's choice. Barzillai reverenced character. Number three, Barzillai is described as a great man, a nobleman from Rogalim, who had many possessions, yet he was a humble, humble man. Look at verse 32 of this passage. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. In the Hebrew, that word great carries with it the idea of someone who is noble and his greatness is due to his humility. All right? He's noble? Yes. Powerful? Yes. Humble? Yes. That's the idea behind this Hebrew word that's used here to describe Barzillai. He carried his greatness with humility. He did not squander his wealth on idle pleasures, nor hoard it for selfish ends. His position, prestige, and purse were beneficially used for other people. He used it for other people. Not blowing it on himself. But when he found out his king had a need, he didn't wait for the call to go out. You know, some people have to be prodded all the time. You know, stick them in the rear end. Oh, okay, I guess I'll help. Awareness. Barzillai saw that his king needed help. And he didn't go to Dollar Tree and buy a bunch of stuff there and bring it over. Okay? Now, I'm not knocking Dollar Tree. I shop there all the time. But I want to tell you something. If you've got a need, you need something, medical supply, I don't go to Dollar Tree. Okay? You want some plastic something from Dollar Tree that's a dollar? Or do you want something that's going to help? You know, I like Band-Aids that stick. You know what I found out about Dollar General and Dollar Tree and Family Dollar Band-Aids? They don't stick. You can put them on, and I have hair on my arms, all right? And I put it on there. Now, you get those good Band-Aids. It's got some sticky stuff on there. It doesn't matter whether there's hair there or not. It's room right to the skin, and it doesn't move. But Dollar General, they sit on top of the hair. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ladies, you don't have to raise your hand about hair on your arms or whatever like that. But you guys, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You slap a Band-Aid on there, and they're sitting up there on top of the hair. What was that? Okay, I thought you said something. Yeah, and you're like, that's not even covering the wound. Yep, that's a Dollar General. Or batteries. Do not buy batteries that say Dollar General on them. Because you know if you buy a Dollar General battery and you put it in a smoke alarm, guess what you're doing at 2 o'clock in the morning? Beep, 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 beep. And it just gets so loud, and even deaf people hear it like me. After my wife's punched me, don't you hear that? What is it? And there's my Dollar General battery that I stuck up in there. So I've learned a lesson. I buy Duracell or Energizer. All right? And I check the dates on them. Because I want it to say like 2050. All right? I don't want something that says 2022. All right? I want that battery to last a long time, so I'm not climbing up on the ladder up at the roof trying to get that battery thing all hooked back up again. So I learned a lesson over time. Don't buy Dollar General batteries. They're not good. They're not quality. How many times do we do that? Let's help on the cheap. Now, I know you may not have much, and I understand that. Lord knows some folks have grown up poor. They don't have a whole lot, and maybe that's the best you can do. But some people have more and can give. Some people can think a little bit deeper than just Dollar General and Dollar Tree and Family Dollar. Okay? We can think a little more deeply when it comes to helping others. And that was Barzillai. When he came up, he didn't have a little Shetland pony with two saddlebags on it. Here you go, David. There you go. That's enough for your family. What you got in there? Oh, we went all out. We put corn dodgers in there. Anybody knows what corn dodgers are? Some of the older folks, raise your hand. That's cornmeal that's been cooked, and it's rock hard. All right? Lasts for years. Okay? And it tastes like it, too. The old miners used to carry them up into the mountains whenever they were going. They'd carry bags full of corn dodgers that they'd make down there. They'd fry them on the griddle, throw them in the saddlebag, and off they go. That wasn't Barzillai. It was horse after horse after horse after horse, loaded with food and sustenance for the king. That was Barzillai. Let's go on to another one very quickly. I want you to see here that whenever King David said, I want you to come live with me in Jerusalem, I want you to spend your dying days with me at the palace. Have you ever been offered that? I wonder how many of us live in the palace. Count me in. I'll be there with bells on. What did Barzillai say? No, it's not for me. I'm ready to go on to my maker. My mom and dad are buried back at the house, and I'm going to be buried next to them. But notice what he does. Notice what he does. He says here in verse 37, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. Have you ever sent away good help to somebody else? That's what struck me about this boy, who we find out later is the son of Barzillai. It was his own boy. Here he is, 80 years old. How many 80-year-olds depend on their children for help? Just about everybody that has children. They depend on their children for help. He said, here's my son. If you want to take him, you can do unto him what you'd like to do. You see, it was his boy that had helped loaded up all those animals with all that food and had gone with his dad to deliver it to the king. He was being faithful and helping his father. And Barzillai said, "Son, you go on with the king, and he'll do to you whatever he thinks is right. You go with him." He sent his own son. What does that sound like? I think this is the thing that stands out to me more than anything else. It's a beautiful picture, is it not, of what God the Father did for us. God the Father did not die on the cross. God the Father did not... I'm not being disrespectful at all here. This is a theological point. God the Father did not die on the cross, but He sent His only begotten Son. Exactly what every sinner in this world needs. Barzillai said, "Son, you go on with King David. You help him, son, and he'll do to you whatever he thinks is best. Son, you go on and you help him." Have you ever sent away good help? We've had to do that over the years. I'll tell you one that was hard, and there have been many. I could go down, I hate to just point out one. It was hard to say goodbye to Miranda. You talk about an excellent piano teacher. You talk about a young lady that could teach just about anything. And we run a Christian school. And she says, "Pastor Brainerd, I think the Lord wants me to go to the mission field." And the first thing is that a lot of preachers say, "I don't think God wants you to go. God didn't tell me that." And I just said, "Whatever the Lord wants you to do, you have our support." She went to Honduras for 3 years. She came back, and I said, "Piano teacher may be coming back." She helped out for a little bit, and she said, "God wants me to go to Peru." "Whatever the Lord wants you to do, Miranda, you go." Send it away, good help. And you know what God's done through the years? He's supplied us with everybody we've needed. You see, sometimes we have to send away good help in order to do God's work. And if you can you choke out an amen to that? I've choked out a few amens over the years. It would have been very easy for me to be a blockade. And pastors have done this. I've heard the testimonies. My pastor told me that God had not told him about you going anywhere. You stay here! Well, I'm sorry, but I don't have any vocal communications from God that tell me about anybody. What I do know is that I pray that I will do what God wants to do and that you'll do what God wants to do. And if God works in your heart and says, "I need you over here, I'm not going to stand in the way. I want you to go do what God wants you to do." Now, if you're telling me that you're going to go do something that's contrary to God's word, I'm going to speak up and say something about it. But if God wants you on a mission field, or God has another location that He wants you to serve, then blessings upon you. Because I've learned over the years that we may have to say goodbye to good help, but God always seems to supply more in their place. David goes back to Jerusalem. And David finishes his reign. And guess what happens? God supplies another king. Amen? His son Solomon, not David's first choice. Not David's first choice. Lord, he's young, he's tender, he's soft. But God had his choice. Because God has his plan. And God worked in that house. I want to finish with this, because the Lord's been dealing my heart, in this whole thing. Folks, we have to be aware of each other. We've got to be aware of what God wants us to do to help. And you can make all kinds of excuses, and I can make all kinds of excuses for why I'm not going to do something, or why I didn't do this or that or the other. But it doesn't take away the need that needed to be fulfilled. Barzillai was used of God at age 80 to encourage the king of Israel. And it so moved the king's heart that he says, "Won't you come and live with me for the remainder of your days?" And Barzillai stepped back and said, "No, I didn't do this to gain some help in that regard. But if you want to take my son, the one who was going to take over when Barzillai would leave, you want to take my son, you can have him." It's interesting that on David's deathbed, he says to Solomon, "Do good to the son of Barzillai." Do good to the son of Barzillai. That boy, whose name is only mentioned a couple of times in this passage of Scripture, Barzillai sent him away. You use him. You use him for whatever you need. Can God count on us to do the same? Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the lessons that you've been teaching me. And I pray, Lord, as I've shared these, that we might all learn together how important it is to be aware. It's so easy to trundle along in life and just do what we do every day and not think about anybody else. Lord, rebuke us in the strongest way. And help us to be like Barzillai, who was 80 years old, yet he was aware and wanted to help, wanted to do what he could. Nobody had to come get him and tell him. He got the word about the king, but then in his own heart he started to engage. What can I do to help? Lord, help us to have that same kind of attitude and learn the great lessons of 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 31 through 40. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.